And there's a project called Desert Fireball that looks to track these events back to where they came from. And it involves taking a selfie with a meteorite, if you're quick enough. Georgia Mills sat down with Curtin University's Philip Land, who came up with the idea.
It's a project where we've put out lots of little kind of observatories across Australia, and they look at the whole sky and image everything that comes through the atmosphere. And what we do then is we're able to triangulate the orientation of anything coming through, track it back to where it comes from in the solar system, and forward if it lands to where it lands. We get its orbit and we get a full position.
And are you also trying to use the great power of the masses to help in this project?
Yes, we are. So if you see a fireball, you can pull out your phone and hold it up to the sky, click on where it started, where it ended, the colour, you can log all of this stuff, and then blippers that information. And that also helps us triangulate it. If we get enough data and we can tell you your fireball came from out beyond Mars and hit the top of the atmosphere at 20 kilometres a second.
I guess it's people's first instinct anyway when they see something incredible in the skies. Get your phone out.
Get your phone out, exactly. So this actually gives you a scientific purpose to get your phone out.
Anyone taking meteorite selfies?
Well, we've not actually had that yet.
When you get this data from all your observatories and maybe from people as well, what do you do? How do you go and find the asteroid?
That's the hard part. So we build this wind model, and then you head out in the middle of nowhere with a team of 6-7 people, and you've just got to be very optimistic and perky for a week and try and keep them going while you don't find it, until in the end hopefully you do, and then you will, you know, have a bottle of wine or several.
And I believe you've got something you have found
You
here.
So this is a meteorite, and this was the first one we found. This kind of proved that it worked. It's called Bumburra Rock Hole.
Can I touch it? Yeah. It looks and feels a bit like a sort of shiny lump of coal. Once you have this rock and you've used your tracking to work out where it's come from, what do you do with it once you find it?
You know, we'll look at the isotopic composition, the chemistry. We'll use microscopy. We'll do kind of CT scans of the thing. So there's a ton of analyses that we can do to kind of build up a picture of its whole history.
What's the furthest you've ever got anything from? Would any specimens from the Kuiper Belt actually fall to Earth? Is that something you're looking for?
We go through streams of comet debris on a regular cycle, which are meteor streams. Most of that stuff is dust, which means that it'll almost all burn up in the atmosphere, really high up. But some of it is chunkier. And there's one stream in particular, the Geminids. It's a comet that's been cooked up a lot by many close approaches to the sun. So it's certainly not in as good shape as it was originally. But what that's done is the material is denser now, and it looks like some of that should be able to make it to the Earth's surface. So my kind of holy grail, you know, if we were ever going to find anything, would be that we'd see something come in, we'd put those images together, we'd calculate its orbit would match one of these Geminid meteors, and we'd work out that it had landed, and we'd go and pick it up. And that would be absolutely incredible. It wouldn't be nearly as pristine as some of the others, but technically that's possible.
Best case scenario, what could you learn from a meteorite that had come all that way?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. I mean, best case scenario, you know, I got into planetary science and studying meteorites because as a geologist, it felt like a lot of the things in geology, you know, we'd worked out pretty well. You know, we know the kind of grand unifying theory for geology, plate tectonics, and it's been kind of a case of putting the finishing touches to that, really. But in terms of what happened before planets got made, or how we made planets, or why the Earth has the composition that it does, we really have very little idea. So if you ask someone, okay, how do you make terrestrial planets? How do you get a planet that's got a nice mix of rock and ice and water and organic material? Well, no one knows. You know, there's dozens of different options. And I found that really, really exciting, you know, as kind of a young researcher. So that's why I got into it. So in the best possible case, you know, we'd work out why we have terrestrial planets in the inner solar system, why that happened. And that would be quite exciting to know that.
Phil Bland.